changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Good morning, Austin, Texas. Welcome to BNE. Without the E, of course, this morning. You've got the B here, Bucky Godbold here on a Buck Off Thursday. Buck Ons and Buck Offs, of course. And you can hit us on that, of course, at 512-337-3776 is our text line. No, I don't need you to call us this morning. You know, when he's away, I generally have some call-ins, but not up in here today, please. You can text us and let us know about your Buck Ons and Buck Offs for sure. And there's a lot of them out there, and we'll get to those, of course. Isaiah doing what he does, and he does it the best way he possibly can. He does it really, really well each and every day. But joining me this morning, Colonel Craig Flowers is here with us this morning from the high ground. And, man, speaking of the high ground, you had to get to high ground last night, Colonel, as you drove in here from Oklahoma.
Coach, I have been in some monsoons in Panama, and last night I have never seen anything like that in the great state of Texas. There were cars pulled over. The last hour of that drive seemed like it took forever. And, I mean, it was 10 and 2, grip tight, and a lot of people, flashers on, pulled over. So, hey, I've never seen Texas and Oklahoma so green.
It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
It's just stunning.
And, well, if you've been listening to the show, which you do each and every morning, you know the Farmer's Almanac over here has got it going on.
I do.
About the rain. And as I said, I predict that this will be a very nice mild summer for us. Mild in the sense that we're going to have rain in June, which generally we don't have a lot of rain in June. We're going to have rain in June. We're going to have some in July. And we're not going to get those crazy 110s, a bunch of those in a row. We'll be in the 90s, but I don't think we're going to have a lot of 100 degrees. And this is going to roll right back in to what we'll call fall and even winter. We're going to have a little bit of a winter after last year's freeze. Nothing like last year. We're not going to have any craziness like the freeze that we had. But we're going to have some temperatures that are going to be different for us going into next year. And this change of this weather pattern won't get back until probably next spring, until the summer. So it'll be nice. It'll be a seasonal thing for us in the state of Texas, I believe. That's coming for me. That's right. That's exactly
take it to the
right.
bank. I take it every year. I listen to you. I take it to the bank.
Yeah, I dig on that Farmer's Almanac, and this is the we had this frost and we had this great freeze, but that's going to continue to get us. We're going to start coming out of that deal slowly, but it's not like the summer's going to go away. It will be hot because that moisture in the ground, by the way, is going to. You're talking about humidity.
You know, I was looking at the Lake Travis water level last night. It's still 18 feet down. So it's not full. Travis is not full. So we still got some wiping to do. So in many ways, we welcome it. I don't know about tomorrow's game at the first pitch at 1 o'clock. That's going to be tough. I know there's folks out at Fort Hood, Coach, that are waiting for you.
Yes, good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and, of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated, and we appreciate that each and every day. And I know you just had Memorial Weekend just went by, and they are friends of yours that sacrificed their lives for this country. And I know you thought about them during the course of the weekend. As a matter of fact, it wasn't a celebration of hot dogs and hamburgers. It was a celebration of men and women who gave their lives for this country. So, and I know you've known a few.
You bet. Colonel. In fact, Jamie Frazier and I were talking about that just couple of days ago. And you know, the beautiful thing about this long drive down here, which I don't mind at all, Coach, I really don't, especially coming to see you, but BK reached out to me on Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I really appreciate here he just lost a grandparent.
Yes.
And reaches out to me and says, hey, I'm just thinking about you. I know you've got some buds out there. And there were two that I thought about most of that day. Donnie Tiller, who lost his life in Desert Storm last the day of the ceasefire, and then Kip Taylor, who lost his life in the Pentagon in 9/11, and there's so many more. But those two, I was talking to the commander of North America, retired three-star general Jeff Buchanan, who we've had on the high ground, and we had a great conversation on the ride down here, and we did talk a little bit about Memorial Day. We don't dwell on it. We honor their lives, and
there's a reason they did that. They did it for us.
You bet.
That's right. And they'd do the same thing over and over and over again.
No question.
You know, I don't have a big military background, but I never knew this because my father and I were so kind of apart. We were apart. There's no doubt about that. As I grew up, the oldest of eight, And I never even knew my father served in until my sister
really?
Told me over. And that was no less than probably 8 years ago that she told me my father served in Korea for 2 years. And people that served in Korea, I investigate. They never really talked much about Korea.
The forgotten war.
It was horrible, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
talking about weather.
No question. Coach, I've been to Korea during the winter, and it is a significant emotional event.
Is it?
It's just awful. And, boy, you're grateful for Mama-san who follows the troops around. And she's,
sure.
She cooks stuff, and you actually trade your MREs for some yakimandu.
Really?
Where she knows where we're going before we get there. She's there with her little tuk-tuk in her walk and cooking up stuff, and you're glad to trade an MRE with that dehydrated pork patty for some fresh, hot-cooked yakimandu at a cold winter night in Korea.
Well, we're like I said, we're happy to have you in here, and I know
you
this
bet,
is,
Coach.
You're making a sacrifice driving in here, and I'm just...
Hey, this is...
It drives me in you're, it's incredible that you do that
anytime,
to come here. So.
Anytime, and I mean it.
And we had people ready.
You did.
We had people all ready, and when you said you were downstairs, I'm like, he didn't do this. He didn't drive me here for 4 hours today, did he? I'm like... Yeah, he did. I'm like, oh, my God. I thought I had this all straightened out because BK was going to come in and do 6 to 8, and then Trey was coming in. I'm talking about I was going to bring in the big – you're the big left-hander, but I was going to bring the two righties in and just have them hang out for 2 hours apiece, and they were glad to do it. But to have you downstairs, I'm like, wait a minute. This guy has no place to go.
I didn't. I was going to go buy a tent.
He's got no place to go.
I was going to grab a tent and join the crew.
Well, we're glad to have you. We get some old man radio in here. And the folks that listen to this show, they love when you come in and we talk some old man stuff. But we got a lot out there for sure. Of course, we're live. We're local. We're digital. You can catch us on Twitch. And you can see Colonel Flowers. He is on Twitch this morning. And I guess I'm on Twitch. There are days when I get off of Twitch. I'm not feeling it. I don't get my makeup on. I don't get everything done right. So, but I don't have my beard anymore. Shaved that bad boy off.
Coach, you look great. I know you're talking about peeling, but you look fit. You look great. And look, this baseball team. I know
yeah.
You're going to have Coach Pierce on.
He'll be here at 9 o'clock.
Yep, he's going to be calling in, and he's faced with a similar issue that we were faced with in 2005 when I was assistant coach up at Army. And we went to the Florida State Regional. We were the mm-hmm. number 4 seed, Florida State number 1. South Alabama and Auburn were also in there. And we, you know, go down to Florida State, and we've got 4 guys that were drafted on that team. A lefty named Nick Hill out of Seattle. By the way, Austin's got more rain than Seattle in
it's
the month
incredible.
Of May, 10 times
yeah.
amount. But we've got this left-hander on the bump who's lights out, who ends up, you know, making it to high double with Seattle. And we've got a catcher named Skylar Williamson who sells real estate here in Austin. He gets drafted by the Detroit Tigers, went to Afghanistan, did great things. But Florida State was faced with a challenge. Do they throw their number one arm at the number 4 seed Army team? And really, it's similar in the sense that Coach Pierce has to decide, do you disrupt the rhythms and routines that the Longhorns are accustomed to play an inferior opponent
yes.
that can run, and they can, if they get a little confidence, they can run into some baseballs, too, at the plate.
There's no excuse for lack of preparation or to take anybody lightly no matter what.
That's right.
It's not a Tuesday game. It's a playoff. We're in the playoffs now, though.
Florida State went ahead and threw their number one at us, and they beat us 3-2 on an unearned run. And a home cook call that I'm still not over. The ball was 6 inches fair. They called it foul, cost us 2 runs. We went on to beat South Alabama, and then we lost to Auburn to be eliminated. Now, but earlier that year, during spring break, when George Steinbrenner flew the Army team down to train with the New York Yankees, your beloved Yankees.
My beloved Yankees, yes.
And we played the number 5 team, Florida Gators, at the time in Gainesville. And the Gators made the mistake, Coach, of throwing their number 6 arm at the little Army team during a midweek game, thinking that this – and it was a guarantee game. I stepped off the bus as assistant coach, and they handed me a check for $3,000. I didn't even know what the term guaranteed meant. And I looked at Coach Hamburg, who's now the head coach up at St. Joseph's. Mm-hmm. I said, Coach, why'd they just give me a check for $3,000? He said, oh, that's the guarantee. He was kind of depressed when he replied. He said – that's the guarantee check.
The pat on the bat.
Yeah, so that we'll play him. And I said, what? He said, yeah, so, you know, they want us to come in and play them. I said, well, they just paid to get their butts kicked. And that's exactly what happened. They threw their number six arm at us. Their fans showed up in the second inning with sushi and just kind of going to dial it in. Mm-hmm. And the little Army team got up 6-2. And we had a kid named Wes Baumgartner on the bump. And they went to go get their number two arm, and it was too late. We knew that we could beat them, and that's exactly what happened. Well, Coach Martin at Florida State saw what happened in Gainesville. Kevin O'Sullivan was the coach for the Florida Gators, still is, but I don't know for how much longer. And the Florida State went through their number one arm. So Coach Pierce has got a decision to make, rhythms, routines.
Absolutely. And in a year like what this year has been about, you've been in all kinds of routines. You've gotten the number two seed for a reason. Is because you've stayed in your role. You've stayed in your rhythm. And do you get out of your rhythm right now against a team that's not as good, not even close to as good as you are? You know, their batting average is like .230 or something like that. They've not faced pitchers like they will face against University of Texas when that happens. So what do you do? How far down the road do you go? I know Ty Madden probably, I'm going to say not for my number one, but I will say yes to my number two. I'm not going any further than that. And I don't know if we've heard any news on that. I think Coach may be telling us at 9 o'clock this morning when we have an opportunity to talk to David Pierce.
Yeah, we're about to find out.
Yeah, on what he's going to do. But I don't see Coach Pierce going to number four or number three. That to me, that's getting outside the box. I need my guys to get off to a fast start. It's not a Tuesday any longer. These are playoff right. games, and you made it this far getting a number two seed that you can go down the list of your pitching. You can go to number, and I'm saying just number two. I'm not going to number three. He may go to number three.
I'm with you, 100%.
That's about it.
If I'm in his ear hole, I sit down with one and two. I sit down with all four, all four arms, and go, gentlemen, here's what I'm thinking. What are your thoughts on this deal? Because you've got a very confident team in Fairfield that's just sitting there. They didn't come here to lose and participate.
Well, they're used to winning. The thing about winning is you get used to winning.
And with that RPI, they've done some things. And
they've been very fortunate, Colonel. They've played 30-some games at their home, and they played their conference deal at their home, and they haven't been on the road very much. I think 10 away games they've played. But the thing about winning is you don't even look at the opponent.
It's addictive, Coach.
It's a feeling that you get.
You bet it is.
And it doesn't matter who's on the other side.
It doesn't matter what the score is either.
It really doesn't.
The Longhorns learned this in, I forget the year, maybe it was 2009, when the Army team came in here at Dish Falk mm-hmm. and took the Longhorns all the way to 11 innings and just ran out of arms. But Augie was coaching at the time, and I'll tell you what, they got a face full of a number four seed that they weren't expecting. Ended up hitting a granny in the bottom of the 11th to walk it off. But and the Army team, I keep talking about Army because I knew they were going to be in Texas, Coach. I was hoping they were going to be in Fort Worth because I'm going to the regional in Fort Worth on Saturday to watch TCU play in person with a bunch of teammates there. But you know, the Army team's going to be playing Tim Tadlock's Red Raiders up there in Lubbock. And I tell you, Tim is faced with the same thing. You better, in the case of Army, there's two teams that can win a national championship at Army if everything lines up. It sounds crazy, but I'm convinced of this. It's Army baseball and men's lacrosse. Those two teams still have a chance one day will win a super regional. Anything can happen in a super, and they'll end up in Omaha. But Tim Tadlock better pay attention, too, to the Army Black Knights.
And I'll tell you what the Black Knights do well. When I was at Boston College, they were ankle biters and almost took everybody's knee out every time we played them.
Lincoln Riley, when he was walking off the field in Norman, I was at that game, he told Castiglione, get me out of that game at Mikey Stadium. I don't want any part of it. We took him to double overtime with Kyler Murray, Coach.
That's
you know
right.
what the poster is at Army right now? It's Kyler Murray getting sacked by an Army player. That's their recruiting poster right now.
How about that? That's it's special. I've played numerous times. I almost went to coach there. I almost was a graduate assistant there under Homer Smith and said no when he showed me the schedule of what you had to do at Army getting ready to just be a graduate assistant. I went, I'm going to go in another direction, sir.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Dartmouth.
The text was right. You're playing Southern out of the gate, but let's face it, you're really thinking. You're playing Southern, and you want to play them pitch to pitch, but
correct.
You got to have Fairfield on your radar. That's why we mentioned Fairfield. But
yes.
Texter's right. You started out with Southern, but you know you're playing Fairfield in game two.
Yeah, I mean, in your mind, I mean, you're the team that you're playing, that I'm going to say it shouldn't be a problem if you take care of your business.
That's right.
If you start throwing in your fourth pitcher against a team like this, they get runners on base, you get down some runs, and all of a sudden you start to pucker a little bit, and you're in the fourth and fifth and sixth innings, and things aren't happening your way, and because they can run, you've let them get up to a lead. Now, I'm not giving them crap.
I'm putting them down and scoring
14, 15 runs.
That's right.
In my ball game as quick as possible. And get my, whether it's my second starter or my third starter, I'm getting them out. I'm getting other kids opportunities to play and pitch. And then I'll worry about Fairfield the next day. But I got to take care of Southern with my number two.
And
I would even, if he said Madden was going to pitch, if he came on at 9 o'clock, I would be okay.
Yeah.
Fine with me.
100%.
I'm fine with me. Zay, in NBA last night, the New York Knickerbockers go down to Atlanta. The Jazz get a win last night. And what can you say about Luka? Luka. Yesterday on the show, I said, you know, he's got this neck pain. He's not going to be. It's going to bother him. If you've ever had a pinched nerve in your neck from sleeping the wrong way, you know what that's like. But we're talking about a guy who can get training 24/7. He can get his body. I mean, that guy is. They're going to get him healthy. He's got trainers all over him. He doesn't go home and put a hot towel on his neck. He stays there, or they go to his house, or they go to his hotel. And they're with him 24/7.
It's like Tom Brady.
Yeah, he looked fantastic, Zay, yesterday.
Yeah.
He really did. Except for fourth quarter and scoring points. But he scored 40 in three. He was on his way to a 50-point night.
Yeah, but he was still dishing that thing, Bug. He was dropping dimes out there like nobody's business. And Rick Carlisle, man, just what a coaching job he did putting in Boban Mugnanovic, who's 7'5", again, just an absolute hoss down there. And Porzingis playing the four. They, you know, play chess match with the Clippers, who were playing chess with them in games 4 and 3 by putting that small lineup in there. So Rick Carlisle countered by putting the big lineup in. He had a 7-footer in the whole entire game and was like, hey, if you guys are going to play small, we're going to play big. I'm going to throw Powell out there, who's a really athletic big, and y'all going to put Zubac back in the game? Well, we're going to go back to what we were doing game 1 and 2.
Right. That's fun to watch, right?
Yeah, and that's putting them in pick and roll, pick and roll, pick and roll. And that's what they did. And Luka took advantage of that, and you saw him with one of the best performances that we've seen in a while.
I got to believe TV's not very happy about the fact that there's a possibility that the Clippers and the Lakers will be gone after the first series. And you would say, well, let's wait till the fat lady sings, because she hadn't sung a song yet. So we got to be careful about that with the Clippers. And we saw them take two. Their expectations, they'll go back and get one and get game 7 at home. Is that where that will end up for the Clippers, or does it end back in the Mavs?
If the Clippers won game 6, and they would go back to L.A., yeah.
In game 7?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're banking on Kawhi and everybody else, but what they're not, I don't think they were banking. They were very similar to what I was thinking last night. It looked like they were banking on Luka being a little sore and him not being ready, you know, in that game. But once again, never underestimate your opponent, and it looked that way last night. And if these two teams are out, if the Lakers are out, because I think the Lakers, once again, I'm going to get out there on that limb and hang there a little bit, but I don't think the Lakers are going to beat the Suns. I don't care if it goes 7. Well, LeBron has to do some things that I want to say he's not capable of at this age, and that's carry his team. AD plays or gets on that court, he's got a chance. But if street clothes is in street clothes, that's a problem for the Lakers, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And at the end of the day, the Suns, man, they smell blood. And when you have a guy like Chris Paul, who's as hungry as ever to get to the finals
and
to
be.
Get that ring, you know, he's their leader. And he looked really good in games 5 and 4. And that's exactly what the Suns need. And Devin Booker is finally showcasing his talents and showing everybody that he is a superstar. And they just got a lot of tough guys, like Mikal Bridges, who played for Jay Wright and won a national championship at Villanova. He's as tough as it comes. Jay Crowder, I played against him in junior college, which that's when I really realized that I wasn't capable of playing on that level when I saw him and had to match up with him for a game. And yeah, the Suns are just hungry, and I'm with you, Buck. I think they smell blood. If AD's not playing tonight, then it could be brutal for the Lakers. And yeah, Adam Silver and the NBA, they don't like that.
No, they don't like it at all, because they really don't want the Jazz. They don't want Utah in there. But Utah, as we said the other day, I mean, it's the most consistent team in the NBA. They've been it all year long, and they made it easy. They looked that looked easy last night. That looked like a practice round for them as they continue to move on. And for the New York Knickerbockers, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, they haven't been in this position, Zay, in such a long time. It just You know, Trey Young was fantastic again last night. This guy's averaging over 29 points a game throughout this series. And just think about the draft choices that have been around, like Trey Young and the New York Knicks. They ended up with who was their last big
draft? Toppin from Dayton, the athletic big.
Yeah, I mean their first picks are nothing. They're not scoring. They haven't done a thing over the last three seasons when they played basketball. Considering the group that went out with Luka, Trey Young, and the Knicks, they ended up with nobody. You know what I'm saying? They just haven't had anybody. They haven't had a draft pick that's worth a damn.
Yeah, their last few picks, they had Toppin, R.J. Barrett, who's only 20 years old. This is his second year in
right.
the league, and he's coming out of Duke, which obviously Coach K
retiring.
Yeah, Knox. Knox was the one. He was supposed
to be
big
time.
Yeah, he was supposed to be big time out of Kentucky, and it seemed like once Tom Thibodeau got there, his minutes just gone, absolutely gone. And yeah, Trey Young, man, I know I get after him a lot because he's from Norman and whatnot, but mm-hmm. good grief. You just can't stay in front of him. He's so small.
Who does he remind you of?
Steph.
He does.
He reminds me of Steph more than anybody else. You know, obviously, Steph without the ball is on a whole nother level, which that's what separates the two because Steph's an all-time, you know, great. But Trey Young, man.
Does he have a little Iverson in him as well, would you say?
Yeah, a little Iverson in him. Just he's so shifty, like any of those guards that just have that tight handle kernel, you know, that could get by anybody. And the fact that he's small works to his advantage because you can't get down that low and move with him. Like
right.
he's just too quick. There's nobody, you know, in the league that's really his size that can move with him besides maybe Drew Holiday, and he can only really contain him. So they were trying to put 6'8" Reggie Bullock on him, and
I saw that last night. That was a joke.
Yeah, that was a joke. That was a mismatch for the whole series.
That was just one head fake and gone.
Yeah.
I mean.
Or kept trying to swipe the ball. He was knocking the ball from behind him a couple times.
And he's got arms.
When Trey went around him, I mean, totally around him, it was – and then at the end, towards the end, it was really funny when Trey Young did that bow right in the middle of Madison Square, gave
that's
him the bow.
That's cold-blooded, man.
Yeah, that curtain call, that was a beautiful thing.
It's like walking
thing.
A putt in, man.
That was a beautiful thing. I think they're trying to get some kind of rivalry going, but it's not a rivalry. Atlanta owns them right now, 4-1. Yeah. So it was good to see basketball alive and well in Madison Square Garden, but they just don't. But with Randall, if Randall is their guy, he's their regular season guy because he didn't do anything in the playoffs. He's okay. They got a couple regular season guys, and if they can get people to come to New York and want to play with them in Madison Square Garden, things could change over the net. And it doesn't take long, right? But you can't have first round picks like the kids that we talked about that aren't any good.
Yeah.
When you get mm-hmm. Trey Young going to Atlanta and you get Luka going to the Mavs, they make a difference immediately. New York, the Knickerbockers, the last three draft picks, or their first picks, were terrible. They haven't done anything.
Yeah, and you could say that this, in a way, was a wasted season because they're not going to get a lottery pick now.
I know.
In the 2021 draft because they made the playoffs, and again, they just lost first round. So
who wants to come?
Yeah, they're kind of like the Washington football team in that sense.
Well,
they have a few really good players, but they still need one huge piece. Like the football team needs a quarterback.
Correct.
You know, so they
need a Walt Frazier coach.
Well, what they need is somebody that respects Tom Thibodeau enough to come and want to play for him. There's got to be guys in the league that you know, Tib loves to play defense or whatever. But there's guys in this league that respect him. In a way he coaches that will want to come and play for him, I believe. Let's take a quick break. It's great. Colonel Flowers is with us this morning. It is Buck Ons and Buck Offs, B&E, on a Thursday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back to B&E. It's Thursday. Buck Ons, Buck Offs, live, local, digital, and on Twitch, as a matter of fact, out there for you folks that want to see faces. I don't know why you would, but we are there for you each and every morning from 6 to 10 B&E. 21 years with E. Hogan. A little short break away from him with Bob Cole for 2.5 years.
Bob Cole.
Pure misery. But it was a great learning experience for me. Loved every moment of it. The majority of people, it'd be very surprising to you, but the majority of people that are really, really good friends of mine through radio, came in at 2.5 years with Bob Cole.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, E and I, we've been doing this for a longer period of time. But the people that I truly knew that because, yeah, it was mostly because, you know, Bob talks a lot of politics, and Bob forced me to go to a lot of things I didn't want to go to. He would drive his car, and I never could drive my car anyway. He would pick me up and then drop me off. And there have been numerous times where I slid out of a place and took a cab home because I just didn't, you know, that kind of scene was just not. And there are numerous times that I met an awful lot of people that are still really, really friends of mine that do a lot of good things, not only for the charities that I'm involved with, but for me, just talking. And that was through Bob. And I'm not saying that I dismiss the people that I've done sports with, and I love them to death, but the majority of really, really kind of tight people are really from 2.5 years, almost 3 years of that show. That's because he picked on me so much.
The Bob Coltrane.
Oh, no, people felt so sorry for me when I first entered that realm of trying to do city politics and country music and, you know.
Well, buck on to Bob Cole.
Yeah, well, what the hell.
And Sue Patrick.
Give him one of those, too. I'm going to have to buck off LeBron James. I didn't say very much yesterday about the fact that LeBron left the court with 5 minutes to go. People would say it's not a big deal. That's always a big deal to me.
It's a big deal to me.
When your team's getting their ass kicked and you can't be a part of that ass kicking because you got to go get your ankle, a little bit of ice on it, you can wait 5 minutes. You can wait 5 minutes and take that loss with them. But when you walk off and you leave yourself open for people to say, why did you leave? Did you not want to get your ass kicked, which we all have to get every once in a while? Are you that good that you don't want to be with your teammates in their defeat? But I got to be kind of around my teammates, I believe, in defeat. There's certain things, and Zay, you can talk to this too. You know how great LeBron James is. I think we all know that. But certain things, when LeBron gets going in certain directions, he doesn't – I don't jive with him in a lot of ways. I jive with him that I think he's a wonderful for what he has done for a lot of community people and really has served – his community well, and a lot of kids well.
Education, yeah.
He's all about that. But when it comes to some other things about being the greatest, I'll back away from that for a lot of reasons with him. And that kind of is one of the things right there. You've got to take a licking. You got to learn how to take a licking. You got to learn how to. Everything can't be an excuse for why you don't win the championships. It was my ankle. It was AD in the groin. If that weren't, I got a feeling he's already setting up excuses. You're a great player, but you can't win them all.
What I loved about Bobby Ross when he was, remember, he was the head coach for the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
And then went on, was the head coach at Army. Whenever Army won, he stood behind the cadets. Whenever Army lost, he stood in front of the cadets.
Interesting.
That's what a leader does. You accept responsibility, even though you may not have had anything to do with it, and you deflect credit. And you do that authentically. And I always remember that. Stan Brock ended up doing that as well. When he coached at Army, was whenever the cadets won, he stood behind them. And whenever they lost, he stood in front of them, accepting that responsibility.
And Jay, when
that's
you,
what a leader should do.
When you saw him the other day, I mean, isn't there something within that 5 minutes he could have talked to his other teammates about for the next game, whether AD is playing or not? Couldn't he have helped in the five-minute stretch that was down when they got beat by, what, 30?
Yeah, they got 30 ball.
Isn't there something that he could have done sitting there with his teammates to talk about for the
damn
next
right
game?
There is.
Wasn't there something he could have done for 5 minutes?
Yeah, and it clearly didn't look good. I completely agree. What I will say, a little devil's advocate here, there's about 50,000 cameras in the arena, and probably 49,000 would have been just on LeBron James just to see his reactions to that loss. So instead of taking all of that, you know, pressure off of him to where, okay, I know everybody's just going to be looking at me and seeing how disgruntled I am throughout these losses or throughout this loss. Let me just go to the locker room so they can see me walk to the locker room, get it over with, and they're not going to have all these cameras on me to see me be pissed off. That's the only thing I got to say. That it doesn't look good. Yeah, your whole team has to take it on the chin, but at the end of the day, not everybody's LeBron James.
Yeah, and I'm going to take it on the chin with the rest of them too. And whether they put the camera on me or not, I'm going to just show I'm a part of this team. And we're losing. I'm going to be right there losing with you. I'm gonna
accept that responsibility. And I'm with the texter on that. I see the text. And
I don't think he's a bum. I just think that it's sometimes hard to agree with him. And if you want to disagree with him about a lot of other things, you can. And as I said this week has been really weird in the NBA. It's been weird for a lot of people. It was weird for me over the weekend, you know, as we just started to try to get back to normal, all of a sudden their NBA fans were throwing things, spitting on people, and that's not acceptable in anybody's culture. It's just not. And whether you disagree with the activism of some of the players, and then all of a sudden now you've got them corralled in one spot, and now you think you can take weird shots at them, like throwing popcorn, like
spitting.
Is
that what it was about?
Like
it was about the activism? I mean, we don't know, was it?
In my mind, and where I'm thinking, some of those things that some of these the players had done in the bubble, and you know, maybe Black Lives Matter, maybe in their minds, now I've got a chance to show these guys. Now they're back in the court. Now I'm back in the arena.
Yeah.
Let me now take some of my frustrations out about what they think on them. And in my mind, that's what I thought most of it was about. Mm. I mean, they hadn't been doing that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in a series of 4 days, spitting, throwing water bottles, throwing popcorn on guys. I mean, it's just, that's not the way.
Unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. You buy your tickets, you go in, you boo the guy, you cheer your team, but you don't spit on a guy from a couple rows up. And I said yesterday, I said, those same guys that were doing those things, if you brought them down there and those 6'8" guys, because it won't be a basketball fight between two basketball players in, it'll be you off the street versus some guy 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
And if you spit on him then, see where you go then. See,
remember Joe,
see how it changes then from you saying, well, tough guy basketball. Oh, no, it would be different. Things would be different.
Joey Bell, also known as Albert Bell when he was at LSU, had a similar situation that occurred when they were playing. And, boy, I watched an ESPN deal on that recently.
Albert Bell?
I had no idea. But he didn't tolerate any of that from fan stuff. He dealt with some unbelievable
Yeah, and I understand we all have to deal with, everybody deals with emotions and stuff, but now all of a sudden you can't keep your emotions in check because you finally come out.
Behavior.
We're out. Out and about now, and you can see it. I mean, you drive down here. I see it in driving. I think we all see it. We're trying to get back to normal.
It's like we're learning how to behave again, Coach.
Well, it's been 2 years.
It's been
2 years. We've all been with our families. Yeah. We have different behavioral deals, the way we act around our families. You know, some of us are the boss. Some of us have equal responsibilities. Some of us have none. We're just there with the family. So all of a sudden, now you're back out with a bunch of different people, and your behavior is not the same as other people's behavior. Hey, chill out here. We'll get back to normal. We will. Yeah, we'll be crazy as ever, but I think people will be a little bit more tolerant as we go on and get back into this thing. So I just noticed that for the first week. You know, I began the week, and Zay knows, and talking about fish camp, where I struggle with my alcoholism, and the people I was with, they didn't even know. And I was like, dude, I have not struggled, would have thought about having a drink.
But that crossed your mind at fish camp, this past fish camp.
It never has. It never has, because I thought I'm getting out from being caged in for so long. Now my mind drifts to a spot of thinking, well, everybody else is drinking. Can I put something in a cup or nobody will see it? I'm out on an island.
You had titties with you?
I had my titties with me. Had them on the whole time. I had suntan. You know, I got suntanned a little bit. And I thought life was easy breezy. And then I could skip away from the reality of I'm an alcoholic. And you can never skip away from that. And so it was different for me. So I'm not blaming people. I'm just saying that this, we've all got to get back. And the norm for me is not to have that in my mind.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, it jumped in my mind over one weekend.
Wow.
So it's not normal.
That's
folks. So look at yourselves and count your blessings that we're starting to get back together. But you're not as normal as you think when you go back. It's been 2 years.
When I was a young lieutenant, I had a colonel tell me one time. In fact, he's the most senior graduate of the University of Texas in the military, Lawson Magruder, 3-star general from the 40 Acres. And he said, when things go wrong in your life, start from your own position.
Yes.
And work in concentric circles. And often you'll find a solution to your problem is a lot closer to your position than you may have thought. So if we would all start with ourselves, we often find that no one took our car keys, our sunglasses are on our head, and our wallets in the other pair of shorts that we left. But oftentimes we just blame right away. Who took who took the clicker? Well, no one took the clicker. You sat down in your chair, and the clicker's laying right here next to the arm.
I mean, that's how I was this week. I'm like, wait a minute, dude.
Starts with you.
How do you? Yeah, this started with me. And so now I'm thinking about how the fans reacted just getting back out, and they have some. You know, they they have some aggression about what they've heard during the course of this. But
I never thought of it that way. That's interesting.
You got to be careful. And I'm totally. I was the number one culprit this weekend of myself, and that was like, I can't go there. I can't even have that in my mind, and it absolutely was. So, I'm not the judge and jury, but I noticed things.
You had fish camp and titties, and you still almost went south.
I'm just the thought of it is not good for me. I'm not close. I wasn't in the corner getting ready to pour it, but
right.
If it comes in my mind, yeah. It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. Let's take a quick break, come back, got to talk some more baseball, obviously. The Longhorn Baseball, we'll talk to Coach David Pierce at 9 o'clock this morning. A friend of mine, Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network, is going to join us at 8:10 this morning. We were talking some Big Ten football a little bit yesterday about all this portal stuff. When we come back, I definitely want to talk to you about this, Colonel, and the portal. It's, I guess, helpful. What is it destroying? Is it destroying high school football? Is going to destroy high school basketball? We'll talk about that. Let's take a quick break. It's Buck Offs and Buck Ons here in B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back to B&E. Thursday, Buck Ons, Buck Offs. Colonel Flowers has joined me this morning, and I love every bit of it. Getting a chance to talk to him. I haven't had a chance to talk to him for a little bit of a while. He's been very busy going back and forth. And how has that been, Colonel? I didn't even ask you, and I'm sorry. How's your family? How's the trips back and forth? I know you are making sacrifices for your family.
You bet.
As we all have done here over the last year and a half. And for some of us, we've been doing it for a lifetime. So how's everything going?
The girls are great. All three girls here in Austin and just doing well. The middle daughter, of course, is working on that great company, Rev Gum, which is right down here. And they're just doing great things. They're all over, but they're in Bucky's, they're in 7-Eleven, and all three girls are here in Austin. Two of them went to Westlake, and so proud of them. But we went up there, split time up in Oklahoma, so Miss Beth could be with her mom, 90 years old, and just Miss Beth spends a lot of time with her right now, and it's the right thing to do at the right time. I had her all over the world for 25 plus years in the military, and told her one day I'd get her back to her family. So now it's the right thing to do.
Yeah,
but I love coming back and forth, and I spend a lot of time on the phone, making a lot of phone calls to a lot of folks, and I'm going to play golf tomorrow at Escondido. Out at
Horseshoe Bay.
Never played there before, playing with the great Ronnie Flowers from Athletic Supply. Going to have a little lunch at around 11, and then we're going to tee it up around 12:30. And, of course, we'll be live with Jamie Frazier on the high ground. But at the break.
You're going to big time now, aren't you? You're starting to roll yourself into big time. Like,
I have no idea what it's about. We lived in Monterey, California for a year. Studying foreign language, so I got to play at Pebble a couple of times, but I don't know how this compares. But I got fitted for these PXGs.
Going big time. Why are you trying to get really, really good at golf? What's the deal about that?
Well, I got
why
a
can't
little
you
time.
Just be like me, just a scrub, going from a 10 handicap to a 14 but in a hurry?
It's funny. That's what I want to get to. I want to get down to single digits. And I've been working with Jerome Kyle,
okay.
Who's a UT golfer, All-American at UT. He golfed with Woody Englander.
Yeah.
And Jerome Kyle runs the Golf Academy of Dynamics out there in Spicewood. So I've been working with him on shaping my ball so it'll go right to left as opposed, because I've been hitting a safety fade for a long time. But I got fitted for these PXGs. And Coach, I don't know if you've ever hit PXGs, but and you said your son.
Yeah, he just got those, and he always has to tell me about it, hitting them. But he also wants to let me know about the price.
Yeah,
No.
It's funny you mention that.
I hit Cleveland straight blades for like 20 years, and I didn't know the difference between them. But I'm not getting into those digits, into those 2 grands and whatever for a set of irons.
We had a 30-minute fitting, Coach. And at the end of the fitting, the guy said,
Did he tell you the price?
Yeah, he did. And they've got the 2s, the 3s, and the 4 generation. And I'm not interested in the 4s because that's a whole different deal. But he said, okay, are you ready? After 30 minutes, he's like, okay, are you ready to – all right, which ones do you want? And I was like, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
30 minutes and you want me to spend –
That amount of dollars?
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
I said, we've got to spend more time together. But it was fun to hit them because everyone's seen the commercials, you know, and It's a different feel. It's a funny feel. Zay and I were talking.
Yeah, when things are expensive and cost like that, they feel good.
Well,
yeah, when you get into a Jaguar Land Rover and it costs what it costs, it tends to feel good than your Prius. Yeah, there's a different feel when you sit your ass in it.
Well,
and there should be.
I don't want to have $10,000 clubs and a 2 cent swing. I mean, but there's got to be something to this technology bit. I mean, you don't have a. We used to have 2 and 3 irons in our.
They got the little heads on them, and they call them utility clubs now.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm starting to talk to
well, you're going
to
love that golf course. Buck Meyer, I think, is now the director of golf. He used to be the old Circle C at Great Rock for a long, long time. And for him to get to be, I think, the director of golf out there is brilliant. He's a great teacher. You'll enjoy him. And it's right across the street from Horseshoe Bay Summit Rock, Jack Nicklaus course, that I've had an opportunity to play. But I've been to Escondido, and, you know, little halfway houses are very, very – I'm in touch with those.
I've heard about these.
Yeah, where you can – Zay, you love the halfway houses that they have, like, 2 or 3 on courses where you go, there's nobody that mans them, but you can pick up sandwiches, any kind of drink, popcorn, peanuts.
I'm going to bring a
tuna
Yeti.
Tuna fish. No, you can't bring a Yeti. But they have these on the courses, and there's nobody to tell you that you can't take 5 or whatever. You know, unless you're with the Texas Cheaters, that they go back and feed their entire family when they come off the golf course, their bags are full. That's not true.
Can you imagine a junior college? You send a JUCO guy in there, and there's free Bluebell ice cream sandwiches, and I mean, you'd be loading up. I got to behave myself.
I had a bad deal out there because it was about 105 when we played one time, and I drank going down one side of the fairway. I drank like a Pepsi Cola. I've never had Pepsi. It's just, and this is when I was drinking ice cold Coca Colas. You know, to fight away whatever it was. And I love them on a golf course. I don't drink any more soda anymore. I drink water. So I went up one fairway, had one Dr. Pepper. I came back, and that same little house was right there. I ran back in there, grabbed another Dr. Pepper. But along the way, I'd eaten one of those little round-shaped peanut butter and jelly sandwiches already made for you.
It's like the Masters.
It was great.
Really?
I ate 2 of those, and dude, I damn near had a heat stroke out there from pounding down peanut butter and jelly and Dr. Pepper. I almost died on the course that day. That was awful.
I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story when we come back about Butch Moore. Butch Moore from SMU.
Basketball story, huh?
You bet.
I got to hear this. We'll take a quick break, come back. It's B&E Thursday. Buck Ons and Buck Offs.